Please turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 4:29 as we continue in our study in Jeremiah. And I don't know how often we've been in Old Testament books on both Sunday and Wednesday, but and we picked two relatively long books to do so. And in this case, we're sitting there looking at the laws of God. Oh, those laws are good. That would protect the Jews. That would give them a beautiful, wonderful society that they would be able to enjoy. And that's 1500 BC. 900 years later, we have Jeremiah saying, you violated everything the law said, and now judgment's coming. And so, you know, in a way, they kind of go together. You know, it's the way it could have been and was for a while, and then now they've completely rejected. And so, actually, let's go to 4:31 as a lead. And we covered 4:29 through 31, and we'll just do just the last verse of 4 before 5. It says, "For I have heard a voice as of a woman in labor, the anguish as of her who brings forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion, bewailing herself. She spreads her hands, saying, 'Woe is me now, for my soul is weary because of murderers.'" So the culture in rebellion against God had descended into a place where women were just grieving as if in childbirth, that I'm surrounded by murderers, that are just, violence is all around. And we studied on Sunday where if you murder, you're instantly dealt with. You can't, if you assault, you're dealt with as you did to somebody else. That happens to you, et cetera, et cetera. All those would apprehend. Well, see, when people turn away from the law of God, then violence comes. And it gets to the point where you're not safe to walk outside. You can't go to the store. How many of you husbands tell your wife, you know what, I don't want you going there anymore. I don't want you going to Seattle anymore. I don't want you going here or there. And we know because, not that every time you go, but it's just surrounding the violence that's in our culture, because our culture has rejected the law of God, just like Israel's culture. Chapter 5, verse 1, "Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know, and seek in her open places, if you can find a man, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her." In other words, God is saying to tell Jeremiah, to tell the people, like, Jeremiah's going through the town, hey, you got a moment? Yeah, do you seek God? Do you seek the justice of the law of God in the... Oh, get out of here. What are you talking about? And we would be considered in that case to run around major cities of America today saying, I'm looking around for somebody that in the open places to find a man, if there's anybody who executes judgment, biblical judgment, seeks truth. And then God says, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her. So what does that sound like? What does chapter 5, verse 1 sound like? Another section of scripture in Genesis. Remember when God told Abraham, I'm going to, you know, these two angels are going to go down to see if what I'm hearing is actually true. And because they're going to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And what does Abraham say? Abraham says to God, what if there's 50 people? How could you judge the whole cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and actually others? How can you do that? What if there's righteous people? Not there. 50, not there. 45, not there. 40, not there. 30, not there. 20, not there. 10, not there. Abraham just kept walking down. And imagine that. This whole massive city. And the answer there was, there's not 10. And actually, there was really only one. Only that one was not righteous enough to not get drunk. And his two daughters that came with him weren't righteous enough to not have incest with their father to create the Moabites and the Ammonites. So in other words, none, really. So it's so corrupted it gotten down to none. And God was telling the Jews, you guys have gotten like Sodom. You have become to the point where now it's time for judgment. And what do we learn for that in our culture? We're seeing the complete departure from the Word of God, as we're emphasizing on Sundays too. We're seeing the departure from the Word of God. We're seeing the increase of lawlessness. We're seeing the decrease of executing judgment righteously. Every time we listen to all the stuff that's going down in the national and local levels and stuff, you got to be kidding me. And so God's seeing that, and when he sees that it gets almost all done, well, it's not going to be all that way. Why? Why is it not? Why is God never going to look down on the earth and say, oh man, there's no righteous there? Because we're here. So what does he have to do? He has to take us out. Because, you know, it's like, oh, all those all over the world who love my son Jesus and want to worship him and turn away from the sins of the world and want to keep themselves in a holy walk with me, they're scattered all over the world, so I can't judge the world. So I'll take them. And then the world gets thrown into judgment. But by God's own righteousness that we saw in the flood, there was nobody but eight. Sodom and Gomorrah, no, you know, I'm going to get everybody out of there before I judge, which, like we said, Lot and his $2. And so by that itself, it's a preacher of rapture. Because the whole world's going to be judged. When Jesus starts popping the seals of the scroll, the judgment of God falls. We're gone before that. Therefore, we're gone before the war that destroys the fourth of the world's population, as I emphasized ad nauseum, admittedly. But and that war, oh, it's coming. It's really coming. Though they say, as the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely. Meaning people will say, as the Lord lives, I will pay you this much for this job. As the Lord lives, I will tell the truth on the court. As the Lord lives. And then what the Lord says, they swear falsely, just like we talked about on Sunday. You know, bearing false witness, not keeping your word. Lying under oath. Jeremiah 5:3, O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? Yes. You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. You are the truth, and you have promised to give them judgments, increasing magnitudes of judgment in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, I think. 27, and you promised that you're going to ramp up judgments. And they're seeing it. Those judgments have come to Judah, and they don't care. They don't want to turn back. And are we seeing ramped up problems in our country? And the people don't say, let's just get back to the way it was in America. Let's let the Bible be our guide. Let's let Jesus be glorified in our culture. Chapter 5, verse 5, I will go to the great men and speak to them, for they have known the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. So who were the great men? Who were considered the great men in Jeremiah's day? They would have been the city elders. They would have been the tribal leaders. They would have been the priests, the Levites, the high priests and the Levites. And so Jeremiah is saying, I'll go to the great man. I'll go to the priests and the Levites. And I'll say, you guys remember, you guys are the ones with the scrolls. You're the ones with the Bible. And so certainly you'll see that everything that is happening to us is written in the Word of God, and you'll help me in explaining to the people that we need to repent. And what did they say? We took the yoke, and a yoke, somebody has asked me what a yoke is. It's this red thing inside of an egg. No, it's when animals are plowing, they put a yoke on them that, you know, a wooden yoke. And so when they're plowing, it's how they would, use the force of the ox body to pull the ropes that are pulling the blade through the ground to plow. And so what happened is the people are saying, you know, your Bible, your Word of God, your do's and don'ts are just, you know, this burden to me. I want to go after the lusts and pleasures of the world. I want to worship idols. And so I'm going to take that off. And so then when Jeremiah comes to the priest, and they, oh no, that's gone. So if you were to go to a large number of Christian pastors today and said, you know, why don't you just teach me the Word of God? I know somebody called me a couple weeks ago and said, I was just telling my pastor, why don't you just teach the Word of God? And so, it's a long answer. And there might even be some movement there, because he decided, oh, maybe I should try that. It shouldn't be trying that. It should be everywhere. That's what it was many years ago. Pastors taught the Word of God. Same thing with the government. The other great men are the government. Try and go to the government and try and tell them, why don't we just make our laws and try and enforce the laws that are consistent with the Word of God? He had great, God has pretty good wisdom on how to run things. Oh, no. But there are some, praise Jesus, aren't you glad that there's some that haven't drunk the Kool-Aid in Washington in the state level, and they're trying to, what are they? In a sense, what are they? Restrainers. And isn't it amazing how these few people are restraining things? And so what happens, and what does the Bible say, is that the Antichrist and his kingdom really can't get going until those that are restraining are taken out of the way. And so because we know what they're up to, because we have the truth and they're living in darkness, and we tell people, you know what? Look at the darkness in them. They're lying. They're lying to you about all these things that they're doing. Come here to the light, and they get exposed. And even the small blogging, I was listening to an hour-long discussion about somebody that was, what was the name of the guy, Dustin? Brett Weinstein was in an interview with Tucker Carlson, and about the whole COVID narrative. And about how big, and he goes, this is my theory. You know, Big Pharma came up with this new MRI technology, which really is awesome. I mean, it really could, if it worked right, it could revolutionize the world. It would solve cancer. It would do all this other stuff that would, get rid of cancer, get rid of diseases. But the problem is we haven't figured it out yet. And then he was just going through and just how Big Pharma didn't really care that a bunch of people were going to die because of all the reasons Big Pharma wanted to make $1 trillion. And although he misses the big picture, that it's all to get us to global government. They're all stepping stones to get us to complete control and enslavement and global government. He and Tucker Carlson were saying, what's really amazing is they kicked all the people that knew the truth out of the colleges, universities, news media, everything else, which actually concentrated all of us to be able to then go and blog and let people know. So even though we're such a small number of people, we were able to, they didn't anticipate that we were going to mess their plans up, because they were looking for 100% control. And restrainers, people that knew the truth, loved the truth, were bold enough to, and they were, lost their jobs, fired, kicked off, lost millions in, major. But they, and he emphasized, we have to understand that our lives are bigger than our lives. The thing, and what causes that kind of courage? And it's not like he's a Christian, but he's obviously a truth-loving person. Does anybody know if he's a Christian? Okay, he's not. But he's a truth person. And so the truth people, and especially Christians who have the truth and really where it's going, an extra little nugget of truth of where it's going, and it's restraining. And he said, and that's why his punchline at the end is, that's why the World Health Organization has been over the last several months, actually a couple of years, been rewriting the treaty with all the nations of the world so that in the next pandemic, that is decreed a pandemic by the head of the World Health Organization, no matter what that problem is, it could be the climate change could become declared by the World Health Organization as a global national health emergency. And with all the rewording of the new treaty, if he declares, or she in the future, declares this as a national or international, global health emergency, then the treaty of all the nations say, you are our leader. And whatever you decree will be done. And the treaty specifies, meaning you can shut down all false information. You can silence, censor any false, misleading, or malinformation. And you know what malinformation is? Malinformation is, even if it's the truth, if it causes people to have distrust in their government, then it has to be banned. So in other words, anything that causes the narrative of the global government, World Health Organization, with the powers of ruling the world, anything that questions that has to be silenced. And you can be forced to be vaccinated. You can be forced to take any kind of oral drug. You can be forced to do anything by the powers that are all going to be internationally debated and agreed on and signed in May of this year, a couple months. Or actually, I should know this, January, February, March, April, May. 5 months. So in 5 months, this is going to be happening. And how did I get on that? So, the restrainer, how did I get on that from? But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst their bond. We're going to get rid of these naysayers. We're going to get rid of, we're going to unyoke ourselves from God. We're going to unyoke ourselves from anybody that knows the truth. We're going to unyoke ourselves from anybody that wants to preach Jesus because we don't want it. It was happening in Jeremiah's day with Judah, the Jews doing that, and judgment came. The world is going to do it today, and judgment's going to come. Verse 6, therefore a lion from the forest shall slay them. And this is one of the ramped up judgments. The lion from the forest will slay them. The wolf of the deserts shall destroy them. The leopard will watch over their cities. Everyone who goes out from there shall be torn in pieces because their transgressions are many. Their backslidings have increased. God prophesies that in the conditions of the judgment that is coming, there'll be wild animals that will be taking people out that are walking out on the street, going from town to town. Is that part of the future judgment of this world? Yeah. Where is it found? Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6 is Jesus popping the seals of the scroll. Revelation 6 verse 7. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature. This is the fourth horseman of the apocalypse. I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death. And Hades followed him, sucking up all the souls of those that are dying or going to Hades. And power was given to them, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, over a fourth of the earth, to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. And you know what's interesting to me is, as a hunter especially, they're deliberately putting wolves and allowing cougars to live in all the free spaces in our open areas. And as hunters, you used to be able to go and see, you know, get deer and elk, relatively easy places where hunters have gone, that it was, you had a good chance of getting an animal. The wolves get introduced, gone. They're gone. They just wipe them. And what's going to happen is that in this coming civil wars, nuke wars, whatever else is going to go on, and people are dying and they're not going to be buried, what's going to happen? The predator population, and not just wolves and cougars, dogs, it's going to explode. And then those hungry dogs, those hungry cougars, those hungry, you know, wolves, and bears, because they're going to multiply when they have all this food that's coming, and then pretty soon the survivors are going to have a hard time walking down the street, getting someplace. That's what happened in the days of Jeremiah. That's what the Bible prophesies will be the case when this coming global depopulation of a fourth of the world's population, that's what's going to happen. Going back to Jeremiah 5:7. How shall I pardon you for this? How shall I pardon you for altogether breaking the yoke and bursting the bonds. Not a single person in the city that really cares about the law of God anymore. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by those that are not gods. How many children of Christian families or even God-fearing families are, because of the programming that they're getting in the school systems, that have made their digital media, their other stuff, and their filth on TV shows and on their phones and everything, and saying, you know, they're going after gods that are not gods. When I had fed them, God had fed them to the full. Then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were like well-fed, lusty stallions, everyone neighing after his neighbor's wife. What was the condition in Jeremiah's day? Everybody was committing immorality and adultery, coveting one another's wives, and immorality. That I've heard, being swingers is a really big thing. Swingers is, let's just swap mates. Like, they agree to it. It's not like hiding adultery. It's like out in the open. Let's just both do it. Oh, yeah. Well, okay. We're married for convenience, but let's just go and play around. That's the culture in America today, in the decrepit parts of America today. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? And shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Go up on her walls and destroy. And then here's an amazing verse or section of a sentence. But do not make a complete end. Now, how long has that lasted? Till today. God right there is promising. Jeremiah, tell him, judgment is coming. But I'm not going to make a complete end. What does he mean by that? I'm going to keep a remnant. There's going to be a remnant that's going to get away from the judgment. I'm going to hide them over into Babylon. They're going to defect to Babylon. That's my rapture plan for 600 BC, thereabouts. And those people are going to come back. And you read Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, and you realize, wow, it's just like Lot. You know, I'm going to keep a remnant. I'm going to get Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot was messed up. You read Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Zechariah, Malachi, and you realize, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, the prophets, you realize the people that came back, they still struggled with wanting to rebel against God. But God kept a remnant through there. And then he had the Maccabeans that kept things and restored the temple after the Greeks, Antiochus Epiphanes had defiled it and put the people under judgment again because they had rebelled against God. Then there was a revival, and then he got to the time of Jesus, and now he's got a remnant in the church, and he's got the Jews sidelined to be a remnant for the tribulation period. He doesn't make a complete end. He never has, never will. The Jews are going to be there till the end. Take away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. He sees the ones that need to be burned. They're not the Lord's. Did Jesus say the same thing? Turn to John 15:5. And he was talking to his Jewish disciples. John 15:5. But it also applies to, I would say, it applies to the professing church of today. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. There's people that profess to be Christians, and they aren't, their branches is not plugged into Jesus. How do you know your branch is plugged into Jesus? You know, when I take a branch off, what comes out that gets all over you? It's the sap. And the sap is just flowing. And so, yes, a branch, what are you about? I'm about Jesus. I'm about the sap that gives me life. And so true Christians are into Jesus. That's the bottom line. You're bearing fruit because your mouth is glorifying Jesus. You're thanking Jesus. You care about what Jesus wants to save people. You care about people's souls. You want to pray to him. You want to thank him. You have a thankful. That's what the scriptures say. That's the fruit of the Spirit. if you don't have those things, then you're not plugged into this, to the vine, and therefore not getting the sap. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, that's another thing. I want to get the word of God in me. I want this to be, it's the sap is the word of God of Jesus, and Jesus is the word of God. I want to get the word into me, and I want it to flow through my branch to then create fruit on my, and the fruit is the knowledge of the word of God getting out into the world, which he's given us the commission to do. And my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Why? Because you're asking according to his will. Because his word is in you. Because you're into Jesus. Going back to Jeremiah 5:9. So what was happening, the Jews were telling Jeremiah, we're Jews. We got the temple. We got Jerusalem. This is a city of God. And nothing can happen to us. God would never let the judgment come. You're saying Babylon's going to come. God cannot let this do because we're Jews. And what Jeremiah was saying, you might be branches, but they're not plugged into God. And you have no sap. You're like dry wood. I'm going to snap you off like just a dried up limb on a tree. You somehow the sap stopped flowing through you. And you're dead. And take it off. Shall I not punish them for these things, Jeremiah 5:9? Says the Lord, and shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Go up on her walls and destroy, but do not make a complete end. Take away her branches, dead branches, dry branches, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel, already judged 100 years earlier, he's talking about the 10 tribes of the north, already been judged by the Assyrians conquering them. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah, about to be judged, have dealt very treacherously with me, says the Lord. They have lied about the Lord and said, it is not he, neither will evil come upon us, nor shall we see sword or famine. They, the wicked mockers of God, are lying when they say that God will not judge them. God's not going to judge us. He's not going to do that. Babylon will not come and besiege our city and cause us to die. That's what they say. And the prophets, today put in their prosperity gospel preachers, become wind, for the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done to them. The prosperity teachers, according to the word of God, when the judgment comes, the judgment they say that won't happen because everything's fine and wonderful. You're going to be rich and you know, all that stuff. The judgment that God says in his word in Revelation and tribulation period is going to come on them. We know that judgment is coming. We know judgment's coming and he's going to take us away. The ones that are lying prophets, the judgment does come to them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, because you, prosperity prophets, speak this word of lies, behold, I will make my words in your, Jeremiah's, mouth fire, and this people would, and it shall devour them. Because the prosperity guys are saying this, Jeremiah, I just want you to understand, don't worry about them preaching different than you. Because I'm going to take your words, which are from me, telling them Babylon is coming, and that is going to be their judgment. Behold, I will bring a nation against you from afar, Babylon, O house of Israel, says the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language you do not know, nor can you understand what they say. Their quiver is like an open tomb. You know, their quiver of arrows. Every single one of those arrows is going to make a tomb. It's going to put somebody in a box. They are all mighty men, and they shall eat up your harvest and your bread, which your sons and your daughters should eat. They shall eat up your flocks and your herds. They shall eat up your vines and your fig trees. They shall destroy your fortified cities in which you trust with the sword. Wow, that's Babylon of the time. What's going to happen is you're going to run into the city of Jerusalem because you've left the survivors of the other cities that they've already conquered. You concentrate in Jerusalem. And you're going to look out and see where all the crops were and where the food was coming from. And you're going to realize it's not coming. That was for our sons and daughters. We were planning that. And the Babylonian soldiers are going to go, yeah, that's what you were planning. But we're eating that while we're sitting out here waiting for you to all starve to death. And start eating your children, which is what happens. And so we're just going to do that. We're going to wait out here. And then as soon as we know that you can't fight because you're all dying, we're going to breach the wall and we're going to kill you all. Nevertheless, in those days, says the Lord in verse 18, I will not make a complete end of you. And, you know, all these false teachers today that, you know, God has cast off the Jews. He's done with them. All that's left is the church. And all the promises to the Jews have been placed now onto the church because he got rid of his Jews because of Christ killers. And, you know, people like John Piper and others that say that kind of stuff. No, God says, I will not make a complete end of you. He says that throughout Scripture, and he has prophecies about his people being used. So today, what would it be? Do they have to besiege our cities? No, they come into them from by the millions into the country. Babylon, I want to emphasize this, Babylon then, mystery Babylon now, the global government, has a different battle plan than Nebuchadnezzar did. Nebuchadnezzar told his general, just, you know, go around the city, put it to siege, and then we'll kill him. And that worked. The new Babylon doesn't have to do that. It's not besieging a city. And it's the whole world. You're wanting to besiege the whole world. So you create the World Health Organization, the United Nations. You create all these globalist organizations, global banks. You put up a global surveillance system, a global banking capability system of satellites in the sky. And then you infiltrate, you wipe out all the nation state, especially the God-fearing ones, by infiltrating with every single known religion and every single culture and confuse everybody about who they are and what their laws mean. And then you end up with, in America, you have some cities that are ruled by Sharia law instead of by the Constitution of the United States. And you create all this trouble in the justice system, so there's nothing that is a semblance of what used to be the fabric and the strength of an entire society that was able to resist the enemy of a country that wants to be righteous. And so then you do all of that, and then you pull the plug on them when you're ready. And they're getting ready. And it's going to be something. But what does God say? But I will not make a complete end of you, because he's going to take his church to be with him. And he's going to keep a remnant through the tribulation. People of those people that are left behind are going to go through a time of trouble. But there's going to be 144,000 people telling the truth to this country, to the world. During that time, there's going to be the two witnesses. There's going to be people turning away from the kingdom of the Antichrist, just like we saw during COVID. No, I'm not going to listen to Fauci. And they're going to keep their courage and lose their heads, but they're going to be saved. And there's myriads of them that are going to be in heaven, because God does not make a complete end. And it shall be, we'll end with this, and it shall be when you say, why does the Lord our God do all these things to us? When the Jews finally go, why is God judging us? Then you shall answer them, just as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your land, so you shall serve aliens in a land that is not yours. God, why is America falling apart? Because you went and served other gods. You went and served other gods, and so now I'm going to have aliens rule you. 2,600 years ago? Now. And we're seeing it set up. Aliens are going to rule over a people that departed from God. And it's not going to be fixed. It's where we're going. And so what is our mission? To try and undo it? Lock and load? No, there's too many of them. This is what we do. One person at a time. Have you read the Word of God? Danger's coming. You know, Jeremiah was, danger's coming. This, I'm telling you the truth. The false preachers are telling you everything's going to be okay. If you want to listen to me, who is a prophet, a true prophet of God, go to Babylon. Get to Babylon, you know, surrender to them, and you'll save your life. And we say, you know what? Judgment's coming. Other people say, oh, you guys have been saying that for centuries. You know, what's your problem? No, really, it's coming. And you can get out of it if you give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus, bow your knees to Him, confess your sins, and He will give you everlasting life. And even if you have to die before the rapture, it doesn't matter because you have everlasting life in Jesus. That's our mission, because we can't stop what God has already told us is going to be happening. Father, we thank You for Your word. We pray that You would just help us to endure the days that lie ahead. Because we do feel, I feel, like we're living in the days of Jeremiah only centuries, millennia later. And we know Your word is going to come true. And we pray that You would help us to have courage and boldness to be a restrainer. Lord, to restrain evil and to give a hope to people that are looking for an answer of why they're here, where they're going. And that answer is, we're here to turn away from the devil and to turn towards You. And that we can have everlasting life by coming to saving faith in You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct.
They forgot to fear God and not rely on our own understanding and all our ways acknowledge Him and be health to your navel. How do you have health to your navel? The Jews understood that life, it's where the umbilical cord was. It was where you got life when you were in your mother's womb. And it's going to be health. It's like God is like being in He is the vine and we are the branches. He's the trunk of the tree and we're the branches. It's like we're tied to Him. We're healthy because we have Jesus inside of us and given us life. God bless you. Keep you in His care until we can fellowship again.